Annyeong, Chingus, it's your girl Kathleen, aka Kasunin, aka Sudin, and welcome to another episode of Sudin Soapbox. Yes, here on Sudin Soapbox is where we rant about all things love, life, and the pursuit of music. Get into it. What's up, guys? If you are tuning into Sudin Soapbox for the first time, I welcome you. Come on in. Kick off your shoes and relax your feet. Grab you some tea, grab you some coffee, grab you some wine, depending on the time of day, and relax. If you are a returning listener, what's going on, family? How you doing? How your mama and them? Welcome back, y'all. So we are here for another episode of Sudin's Soapbox, and we have a lot to talk about today. And I, as always, look forward to chatting with you guys. I always look forward to getting on here. We have quite a bit of things to talk about today, so I look forward to just jumping right on in. But before we do, y'all already know what time it is. Please follow your girl on all the socials. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Because if you're not following me, like, what are you doing? Like, legitimately, what are you doing? The handle is Shameless Listo on all platforms. That is Shameless Listo. On all platforms. Hit me up. Tell me how you doing. How you feeling. How you living. How's your week going? How's life? Come chat with me. Come talk to me. Okay. All right. So normally before we jump into the meat and bones of the episode, we get into our first segment, which is normally titled Sudin's Life Update. So that's what we're going to get into first. So first of all, I don't know about y'all, but why does it feel like March is dragging? It really feels like this month is long. This month is feeling like how January be long. Because I said it before, like January went by really, really quickly. But like March feels like it's dragging. And I've heard in like some, I don't know if it's like horoscopes or like seasonally or I don't know, something. They say like March is technically the beginning of the new year, not January. And I'm like, if that's the case, because baby, March is dragging. Because I'm like, dang, we still in March? We ain't moved along? And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to rush the year or nothing. But I'm like, looking at the calendar, I'm like, why are we still in March? What's happening? What's going on? So yeah, I'm just trying to figure out like what's going on. But yeah, March feels like it's taking forever and a day. Outside of that, y'all. Oh, I do have a very big important life update pertaining to the podcast specifically. So your girl got a lot on her plate. I'm not even gonna hold y'all. I got a lot going on. And so normally y'all know I usually put out about 2 podcast episodes a month. Like usually drop these bi-weekly. But y'all know I usually talk about self-care, taking care of your mental health, being present in the moment, being mindful of yourself and what's going on. And not necessarily to say like I feel burnt out, but I feel like, and this is not necessarily jumping into the episode, but like I feel like God's transitioning me into a new season and a new phase in my life. And so a lot of my energy and focus and time is being redirected elsewhere. And I'm not gonna stop doing Sudin Soapbox or anything like that. But I do feel like I need to cut back on how often I release an episode. So please don't be angry. Don't be sad. But I am going to probably only pump out an episode a month. Again, I'm very, very sad about that. And it took me a long time to come to this conclusion for myself, because being someone who thought that I could multitask, because I'm the type of person, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a multitasking queen, I can do, but I realized, nah, when you multitask, there's something that's gonna slack. You're gonna cut corners. You're not gonna do your best work. As I've gotten older, I realized that multitasking isn't, it's not given what it used to give anymore from being 100. And so I've come to the stage in my life where I can be honest with myself. I think that's growth. I think therapy is helping, especially as much money as I pay for it. And so I've had a conversation with myself. I've had a conversation with my mentor to just realize that I need to put focus on the things that are a necessity for the shift and the transition that I'm taking right now. And I'm sorry that I'm being like mad ambiguous about it. I just don't feel like it's the season or time to talk about it right now. Once I feel like God releases me to discuss it, then I definitely will share it with you. But you know, real G's move in silence like lasagna. And not everything is meant to be shared until it's the right season. But I do feel like I just currently have a lot on my plate with this being my fourth year in Korea, the way my classes are set up at school, the way my personal life is set up right now. I just have a lot on my plate, and it would be disingenuous of me to pretend like it's not taking a lot of my time and energy. And I would hate to continue to pump out 2 episodes a week or 2 episodes a month and act like part of either my job or the things in my personal life or this podcast wouldn't be taking a hit in the process. You know what I mean? So what's just gonna happen is I'm going to put out an episode a month, and I'm going to try to do it the first weekend of every month. So the first, for me, I put these out Saturday at midnight, which I believe is like Friday US time. I don't know when. I just know Korea time, it's midnight. I believe it's like, if you're on the East Coast, it's 10 a.m. I don't know about everywhere else. I'm sorry. But I'm going to make sure the first weekend of every month I put out a new episode, so you'll get that. I will be a little bit more active on my social media, so at least that's not completely dead, and just talk about whatever other things are going on. But as far as like pumping out actual content through the podcast, that's going to slow down a bit. And honestly, it's because like I really want to do a lot with this. I didn't think I would enjoy making these episodes and calling myself a podcaster, which again is still strange to me, but I want to do a lot with this. I would like to have a newsletter that coincides with this, where I can be a little bit more personal with my friends and family who sign up. And I consider y'all friends and family, whoever listen, because I have other aspects of me. I love anime, I love video games, I'm an avid reader. I would love to delve into the things that I find interesting with those who sign up with the newsletter. I also would like to have a YouTube channel that pairs with this podcast. So if you do listen to it, you can listen to it. But if you're someone who's more visual like me, because I watch a lot of podcasts versus actually listen, I want you guys to have that option. But at this point in time, child, I'm not in the space to record an actual video. I don't have the time or the capacity to actually edit any YouTube videos. And while I bless to say money is not bad, it's not in a place to be trying to hire somebody, even through Fiverr, to edit no YouTube video right now. So I'm going to wait till I'm in a better place, but I have lots of ideas. For my 1 year anniversary, I wanted to release merch. That was an idea that I had. But again, just because I have a lot on my plate right now, these things kind of just got swept under the rug. I hate that, but I want to be honest and transparent with you guys about what's going on. I feel like it would be disingenuous to both me and you guys if I just wasn't upfront about what's going on. So again, that's probably like the biggest Soden's life update, is just that instead of it being 2 episodes a month, we're gonna scale back to 1 episode a month. I will intentionally drop the episodes at the beginning of every month, so that way you guys know exactly when they will drop. So just know whatever the first weekend of the month is, there will be a Sodin's episode unless something specifically happens and I have to drop it later in the month, but there will be at least one episode a month, and that makes it easier for me as far as editing wise. I can expand my time. I don't have to basically navigate my already extensive schedule to try to do that. So just wanted to kind of give you guys that update to let you know. I'm already sad about it, but I understand that sometimes you have to scale back on things so that God can make room for other things. And I feel like this is just a temporary, like, I'm just taking a couple steps back temporarily so that God can kind of do his thing. I'm just trusting God in the process. That's basically what I'm doing. I don't know what he's doing, but I'm just going to trust him in the process. So I'm trusting that this is the best decision for me so that I can give you the quality content that I see in my head. Because when I do the YouTube video, I see what I want it to look like in my head. I see what I want the newsletter to look like. And I know, obviously, it doesn't have to be perfect. Because even when I launched the podcast, it wasn't perfect. Even now, I don't consider this perfect. The music that I put in there, like, I produce the music. I make the intro and the outro and the background music. Like, I do that. And that's a lot of work to produce the music, to edit the podcast, put out the content. Like, I do all of that. And kudos to all the content creators, because trust me, content creator was not a title I imagine to even have. And even again, that's still just very foreign to me. If anyone who knows me, there was only two dreams or two things that I ever wanted to be since I was a kid. Number one was I wanted to be a background dancer for Janet Jackson. Number two, I wanted to have my own record label like Diddy. Those were the only two things I ever imagined myself ever doing or having. I love to dance, so I was like, oh, bet. I want to be Janet Jackson's background dancer. Always wanted to be, still low-key do, even though my knees are starting to tell me, like, girl, I don't know what you think this is, but it ain't that. And two, I wanted to start my own record label like Diddy. Now, I've seen a lot of Diddy's behavior, and I'm like, you know what? Diddy is Diddy, and I am me, so I think we need to keep it that way. But those are the two things that I've only seen myself ever being since I was a kid. So the idea of being a quote-unquote content creator in any form of fashion, I was like, it's a no for me, dog. And yet, here we are. God has a sense of humor. I've been saying that for forever. And so he never ceases to amaze me. But yeah, anyways, don't mean to drag that on for long. But just once again, after this episode, so I think we're on, if I'm not mistaken, this is episode 4. Child, I don't know. Like, I got a lot going on. I'm sorry. I think this is episode 4. But whatever. After this episode drops, the next episode will not drop until the beginning of the month. So the top of April. Yes, the top of April will be the next episode, and then the following will be the top of May. So at the beginning of each month is when I will drop new episodes. Once things change, once my plate is a little bit easier to manage and easier to balance, well, not balance, because I don't believe balance is real. I believe that you just are able to manage and adjust a little bit easier. But once I'm able to adjust a little easier, then I'll come back and be like, all right, guys, we can go back to 2 episodes or 3 episodes or whatever the case may be. Because I wouldn't mind doing an episode a week, but your girl is already at capacity trying to do 2 in the stage that I'm in. So for now, we're just going to scale back to 1. We'll ramp it back up when things are better. Because before, 2 episodes a month was nothing to me. But right now, I'm in a little bit of a season where God is like, I kind of need you over here. And I'm like, are you sure, God? Do you really need me over here? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna be over here. So y'all just gonna have to wait till, you know, God is done releasing me over here. Okay? So with that being said, we're going to head into today's episode, but y'all already know. Before we do, we have our church announcement. All right, so let's get into today's episode. So first, I want to start off with how I was inspired by today's episode. Similar to the last one, I like to go in about what got me to thinking about today's topic and how my brain essentially connects dots. So as of late, I've been watching this podcast called The Basement with Tim Ross, which I don't know if you'll ever hear this episode, this podcast or not, but shout out to Tim Ross because that man is anointed by God. If you don't know who Tim Ross is or never heard of The Basement, Tim Ross is not anymore, but he used to be the lead pastor of Embassy City Church out in Dallas, Texas, I believe. He also used to be the young adults pastor at the Potter's House, so TD Jakes, but he's also the mentor for Pastor Mike Todd of Transformation Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So he's pretty well known among like a lot of like pretty well-known pastors. Like he does a lot of mentorships. He had his own church. He has a book, I believe, called Upset the World, if I'm not mistaken, which is also the name of his organization. So this year he started a podcast called The Basement, where he basically, the same way he talks to his mentors in private, he's now basically does it on YouTube. So in his podcast, like he and whatever guests he decides to interview, like they just drop a lot of nuggets, they drop a lot of gems. And it's not just intended for like anyone who's Christian. It's just intended for anyone who has an open mind and just willing to listen. Because the reason why it's called The Basement is that like anything goes, but you have to be willing to go down to the basement and get gully, essentially. But there was a topic that just really hit me in the chest where like I had to catch my breath. I want to talk about it today because in a world where, and I'm talking in this perspective of both in and out of the church, because again, I will say this now and I will say it always. Y'all know I grew up in the church. Y'all know, l'église, la caille, l'école. That's all I know. So this is the perspective I'm coming from. But they were talking about in one episode that like we hear all the time, especially with social media, that everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to make it in some form of fashion, right? We all want to define ourselves or carve out our name in this world somehow, some way. You can't flip through social media and see people going on trips to Bali or talking about, oh, how you can flip investment properties or get multiple Airbnbs or how this person is on the 25 under 25 or the 30 under 30. And again, kind of like connecting it with last episode, there starts to be this pressure of, I want to be great. I want to be successful. I want to make my mark in this world. And I'm always going to put myself on front street because can't nobody say, oh, I heard this about you. No, I'm gonna put the flashlight on myself. I'm gonna put myself on the witness stand. I'm gonna tell on myself. So if you said you heard such and such, I already told y'all. I done already told you. Okay. So you heard it here first. I was in my prayer time because I have a routine. Every morning, your girl wakes up at 6:30 and I do my prayer and devotion time, meditation time, whatever you want to call it, prayer and devotion. And I read my Bible and I journal. And I had to really contemplate and ask for forgiveness because I realized that like I was caught in this vicious cycle of like wanting to be successful and wanting to be famous. Now, I want to put a caveat that these two things are not bad. They're not harmful. They're not dangerous in any shape or form. Because again, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a millionaire, wanting to have that dream house, wanting to have that dream car. What is dangerous, what is the problem, is that these things become your identity. Oh, I'm remembering now. Tim Ross was doing an interview with Lecrae. And if, again, you're in the Christian space, Lecrae is a pretty well-known Christian hip-hop, Christian rap artist who happens to also be his blood cousin. So the two of them were having a conversation and they were talking about how Lecrae had to grow up in the public eye. He fumbled, he messed up, he dealt with depression, he dealt with anxiety, he dealt with just a bunch of things. And so he was talking about his life in the public eye. And that's a whole nother conversation in and of itself, is that, you know, side note, we don't have grace for people who grow up in the public eye. Look at the Sprouse brothers. Look at Mary-Kate and Ashley. Look at T and Tamara. Look at Raven Simone. Look at Amanda Bynes. Look at Orlando Brown. Look at the people who grew up in front, like on TV. Look at Drew Barrymore. Like, look at the people who grew up on TV and really ask yourselves if they are, while normal is relative, if they're normal human beings, if they're normal adults. 9 times out of 10, the answer is no, because there was a price that they had to pay for being, majority of them, children growing up with cameras in their faces all the time. Now, this isn't exactly the topic of the episode today, but like, we have a lot of times we judge these people like, oh, I can't believe she's doing this, I can't believe she's doing that. Yeah, but how would you react if you had cameras in your face 24/7, 365? I'm 35 now, and I understand why Britney had the meltdown that she had. Why Sis just decided to shave her head. I understand. Sis had a whole public meltdown. A lot of us can have meltdowns and do it in the privacy of our own homes. We can deal with depression. We can deal with anxiety. We can have downward spirals. We can have all of that. And guess what? Unless we tell somebody about it, don't nobody know. They don't have that luxury. And while, yes, some of them choose to do that, a lot of them don't. And that's the price they have to pay. So it kind of does tie in, but it's like a lot of people, like, they have this hunger and desire and thirst for being famous and successful. But it's like, are you willing to pay the price for fame, for success, for basically glory, for the idea for everybody knowing your name? Because there gets to a point where the price may be bigger than you can actually afford. Again, just talking for me. If you relate, cool, but I'm just going to talk about me, okay? But I had to really think about that. Because again, I just told you, my dream was to be a background dancer for Janet Jackson or to own a record label like Diddy. And I'm not necessarily saying that as a kid, I wanted to do that because I wanted to be famous, because as a kid, I genuinely loved to dance. But I'm not going to hold you. The glitz and the glamour, that's enticing. It's alluring. And so as I'm hearing like Lecrae talk about him going through depression and people both in and out of the church just chastising him, saying that like, oh, you're not the person we thought you were to be. Of course not. When he started rapping, he was a whole teenager. He was a teenager. In general, if you're the same person at 30 that you were at 18, I got questions. I got questions. You should not be the same. Now, whether you make upward change or downward change is a completely different conversation. And based on, you know, who you're around, what you're consuming as far as environments and etc. But if I meet somebody at 30 and they tell me, oh, I'm the same person that I am at 18, red flag, I'm out. I don't want to be nowhere near you. I don't want to be nowhere near you, because that means you're not trying to grow. You're not trying to elevate. You're not trying to be better. You're not trying to do no growth. Shoot, even life itself changes. We have four seasons. So how is you as a person not changing if even the seasons are changing? Make it make sense. So again, just talking about me, as I'm listening to like the Lecrae interview, I'm just thinking about myself and recognizing that I had this desire for a long time that like, I wanted people to know my name. I wanted to be famous. But then like, let's take it to the church for a second. Because again, this is the L'Église part of my life. I grew up in a church where both when I was in a Haitian church, but both when like I was in college, where you would get prophesied over and they were like, oh yeah, you're going to do great things in the world. You're going to make changes and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And that puts a heavy burden and a heavy weight on you. Because when someone prophesies over you, telling you like you're going to change the nations, for some people, like, yeah, you feel like, oh my God, I'm going to walk in my purpose. But for some people, that's heavy. That's a heavy burden to carry. I'm supposed to change the nations? I can barely change my own sheets. Like, I'm depressed right now. I can barely change my bed sheets. And I'm supposed to change the nation? How, Sway? How? And I don't think people realize that. Like, again, there's nothing wrong with, you know, giving a prophetic word and all of that. But I feel like sometimes the church does a disservice in believing that like everybody in the church is supposed to have this grandiose purpose and this grandiose life-changing journey, that we're supposed to have this grandiose journey in life. Some people's purpose is to just be a doctor. Some people's purpose is to just be a teacher, and they're supposed to minister to the students in the classroom. And there's nothing wrong with that. Not everybody's supposed to be an apostle or a bishop or a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary. Let's really remove the stigma that in order to fulfill your calling or your purpose on your life, that your gifts have to solely be used in the church. Because I think that's the other problem, is that if you have a call on your life or you have gifts and talents, that somehow your gifts and talents can only be used in the church. That if you're this amazing singer, you can only sing in the church. Like, stop playing. Like, if you have an anointing on your voice, you can sing anywhere, whether it's an opera house or the church house. Like, let's stop playing and stop putting God in a box. If you're an amazing painter, let's stop doing that whole you painting in the church. Oh, we're going to reveal the painting. Like, what? No. Our gifts do not have to only operate within the house of God. You can use your gifts elsewhere. The Bible specifically says we're supposed to be a light to the world. How are you going to be a light inside the church house and you only stay there? That don't make no sense. But again, I feel like the church sometimes puts this grandiose idea that the only way we can walk in our purpose, walk in our calling, is if, like I said, you a bishop, you an evangelist, you a missionary, you a this, that, and a third. When it's just like, you could be walking in your God-given talent by being a stay-at-home mother, showing the kids what it is to walk in godliness, what it is to show forgiveness and love and the fruits of the Spirit. That could be walking in your purpose. One of the favorite things that I loved in, I don't know if it was necessarily the Lecrae interview, but in one of the episodes, they talked about how, again, I'm just speaking from the church perspective, they always talk about how, you know, Abraham was the father of many. And, you know, Jacob wrestled with God. But nobody talks about Isaac. And let me be clear, they talk about Isaac in the sense of like when Abraham and Sarah didn't have kids and they was mad old, you know, God said, oh, y'all gonna have a kid. And Sarah laughed. She was like, child, I'm old. Like, it's dust. It's dust all here. It's dust everywhere. Ain't no kids. And God was like, I said what I said. That's my version of the Bible. But God said, I said what I said. You gonna have a kid, and gave them Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's promise. But like, if we think about Isaac himself, Isaac didn't do nothing in the Bible. Isaac didn't do anything. He didn't fulfill nothing. He didn't do nothing. He didn't part no Red Seas. He didn't cast down nothing. He didn't do no miracles. He didn't say, let my people, like, he didn't do nothing. Only thing he did was be a promise to somebody else and then bring forth Jacob and Esau. We don't talk about that. Some of us are Isaac, and that's okay. Like, when I heard that, that blew my muffin cap back blue. Okay? That blew my muffin cap back blue. Because, again, everybody want to be a T.D. Jakes. Everybody want to be a Joel Osteen. Everybody want to be a Beyonce. Everybody want to be a Diddy. We want to be these big names because, again, when we hear success, we hear stages. We hear stadiums. We see billboards. But some of us, success just means not reflecting what our previous generation did to the next generation. So that means if you're going to get married, you marry someone that, you know, you demonstrate a healthy love to your children. You show them what it means to have a healthy love language, to have a healthy relationship. Because if you grew up in a toxic household, you said in your mind, I'm not repeating that cycle. So when I have my partner, we're going to have a healthy relationship where we communicate, we have a conversation, we have proper conflict resolution. We actually love on each other. And should you decide to have kids, your kids see that reflected. Or for example, parenting. If you said in your mind, the way my parents raised me, I refuse to do the same. The version of success for you could be, I'm going to decide to do gentle parenting or a combination of the two. Maybe you find a middle ground between not necessarily corporal punishment, but a combination between how your parents raised you and gentle parenting. And you say, that's what I'm going to do. So my children know that if there's an issue, they can come talk to me. I don't see it as them talking back. I don't see it as disrespect. I have an actual relationship with my children. And guess what? That's the definition of success. Again, you can have a nice car. But a lot of times what happens is you don't own that car. That car owns you. You are defined by the car, by the big house, by the money in your bank account. So guess what? If you lose it, your whole world crumbles. And all of that stuff that people deem as successful, if you're not secure within yourself, it don't even matter. So if you're still insecure, if you're still someone who's angry, if you're still someone who's bitter, if you're still someone who gets jealous, if you're still someone who compares yourself to other people, it don't matter how many zeros is in your bank account, that's still going to be who you are at the end of the day. But I'm just talking about me though. Again, if you feel any of these things resonate with you, then cool. But I'm just talking about myself. So I had to really realize that people knowing my name does not matter. My name is not important. My name is not important. It holds no value. It holds no weight. Now, I'm not saying that to say like I'm a nobody and this and the third. But in perspective, again, from a Christian perspective, my name don't hold weight. If any name holds weight, it's God's name. God's name is the one that holds weight. He's the creator of the universe, creator of the stars and the sky. But my name don't hold weight. It don't move mountains, okay? I had to really be like, why do you need everybody to know your name? Because if everybody know your name, then everybody know your business. And if everybody know your business, then that's when you end up on the shade room. Do you really want to end up in a shade room? I don't think so. So I really don't need everybody to know my name. Would I like to have, you know, a better life for myself than my parents have? Absolutely. My parents are immigrants. They came here and they worked hard. And I want their work to not necessarily be in vain. I would like them to see that what they crossed the seas for, to see in me, I would like them to be able to be like, okay, we didn't cross over for nothing. It was not in vain that I lived the better life that they hoped for and dreamed. And I would like to essentially be able to turn around and take care of them and, you know, send them on cruises and send them on nice vacations, buy them a nice house, buy them a nice car. Those things would be nice. But at the same time, it's like, that's not success to me. Success to me would be to see my parents healthy, to see my parents happy, to see them not stress about trivial things. But again, having six figures in my bank account, being a millionaire, like all of these things, I have to really ask myself, for what purpose and for what reason do I desire those things? Because it's like, if I want the nice, you know, BMW, why do I want the BMW? That's the real question. Because it's like, if I just want it because I want it, that's one thing. But if I just want it because I want to stunt on the gram and I want to drive, you know, 2 miles an hour so everybody see me, then you don't necessarily have good intentions. If I want the new Balenciagas, well, Balenciagas canceled. But if you want the new Gucci, the new Fendi, the new Prada, and whatever else, is it because you want it? Or because, again, you're trying to stunt on somebody. You're trying to stunt on, oh, they back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. Is that why you want it? Or is it because it genuinely fits your quote-unquote aesthetic? I think it's necessarily about, again, what do you define as success? Because if we really look at it, success doesn't necessarily have to be tied into material things. And I feel like, again, social media has created this imagery that in order for us to be successful, we need to have a certain look. We need to have a certain item. We need to have a certain thing, a certain apartment, a certain car. We need to live in a certain place. We need to travel to a certain country. All of these things. And success could just be, I have the love of my family and my friends. I'm healthy. I'm happy. And again, you would think, you know, the Panderosa would have kind of recalibrated our focus. But I'm starting to feel like for some it did, but for the majority of us, I feel like that's not the case. And it makes sense because I remember there was a meme rolling around saying that, oh, if you don't come out this Pandora's box with 5 new businesses, then you really didn't take advantage of this break. And it's just like, now, sis, some of us just needed to use this pandemonium to just rest. Some of us just really needed to rest. And that might be success for some of us. Because we done been on goal mode since we were 16 and then had a job since we were 16. And success might be, you know what? I can finally rest. I can finally rest. I don't have to stress about nothing. I don't have to worry about nothing. I can rest. I'm not living paycheck to paycheck. I'm not worried about them shutting off my lights. I'm not worried about them repossessing my car. I can rest. That's success. All these people talking about I'm gonna retire by 30. What are you going to do after 30? Like I've said this before. If you retire by 30, what are you doing after that? What are you doing after 30? Because you still got maybe 30, 40, 50 more years of living in you. What are you going to do for those 50 plus years if you retire by 30? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, for the people who can't retire by 70, that's a whole different conversation. But like, if you're retired by 30, what are you doing for the rest of the 50 years? Like, I have a grandfather right now. He's 99. He's about to be 100, Lord willing, in October. Imagine if this man retired by 30. Are you for real? That's 70 years to just be doing what? Doing what? I just feel like we are cutting our lifespan, our life expectancy short by somehow believing that we have to get everything so quickly. We have to accomplish everything so quickly. And that's something else. Like, you don't have to live your entire lifespan out by the time you turn 30. Like, there is life after 30. Y'all do know that, right? Life doesn't end after 30. Because that's the other thing. It's like, with the 25 under 25, the 25 under 25 list and the 30 by 30 list. I don't know. Y'all know the list I be talking about. Those are all good and kudos to people like that. But it's like, y'all do recognize there's a whole life on the other side of 30. And baby, it is glorious. That light bulb goes off. You just have this sense of effort in your system. Like, I heard people say, like, once you turn 30, you just have this sense of, like, I don't care. That hits you. And I was like, I don't believe you. Nah, really. By 30, I would say by the time I hit 33, I just stopped caring. I'm like, I just don't care. You're not going to make me do what I don't want to do. I'm not going to go where I don't want to go. I'm not going to say what I don't want to say. I'm not necessarily set in my ways, but I'm truer to myself. There's a whole life after 30. So it's just a shame to see that you have so many people who want to get married, want to have a family, want to have the dream house, want to do all these things and feel like they have to accomplish it by 30. And then it's just, to me, it's like, what you gonna do after 30? Like, I would love to talk to someone who's retired by 30 or has that plan and just ask them, now what? Like, if you live to be 70, 80, what are you going to do with your life after the fact? Because if you've essentially done everything, what are you going to do next? Because it's like, okay, if you're retired, are you spending the next 40 years of your life focused on kids? And that's even if they have kids, because you have some people who they've retired at 30 and they're single. It doesn't appear that they want to get married, which is fine. Not everybody's intended to be married. Not everybody's meant to be married. But it's like, what are you doing again for the next 40 years? I just got more questions than I have answers. So back on it. I don't know. Somebody tell me. Please tell me. I all jokes aside, I just would love to talk to someone who is on that path, who is so pressed to complete their whole life by 30, when that was never in our DNA, that was never in our genetic makeup, to rush so many things in our life. Because again, I'm gonna quote Tim Ross, because I love that man. That man is brilliant, he's smart, and he's wise. And I definitely do recommend watching The Basement by Tim Ross. Like, it's not a shameless plug. He's just among the many pastors and people that I have watched, his podcast has just blessed my life, and just, it's been a blessing. That's all I'm gonna say. But he talked about how many of us in our lives are green bananas, and we're trying to rush ourselves through life because we think because we think in our minds we're actually brown bananas, and we think we're going bad. And it's like, in retrospect, we're actually green bananas. We're not even ripe yet. And so, which is why, like, you hear so many people, for example, they win the lottery and then in 2 to 5 years, they done fumbled the bag and already went bankrupt. And it's like, houseway. And it's because you are a green banana. You're not ripe. You receive something that really you weren't ready for, didn't have the proper preparation for. And then when you received it, you dropped the ball, you fumbled the bag. And I feel like that's a lot of us. We are green bananas. We think in our mind we're either one, already ripe, or two, that we're brown bananas, and that we're trying to rush through things because we feel like, oh my God, I need to hurry up and get married. Oh my God, I need to hurry up and get into this career. Oh my God, I need to hurry up and buy this house, because if I don't buy this house, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're rushing. And then because we're rushing, when we get the thing and then we lose the thing, we start to blame God or blame the universe or blame whatever. Like, oh, I thought, you know, what happened? How could this have happened? And it's like, because it wasn't your time, baby. It wasn't your time. You didn't go through the preparation process to receive the thing that you were supposed to get, to make sure that you were in the right place mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually to receive it. So as quickly as it came is as quickly as it left. In the same way, like, if you eat a green banana or put a green banana in a smoothie, your stomach gonna hurt. You're gonna get sick. So the same way you're going to get something, it's going to make you sick. And that could come out in stress, depression, or anxiety, and you're wondering why this is the thing I prayed for. Why am I getting anxious about it? Why am I getting depressed? Why am I not as happy as I thought I would with the thing that I prayed for? Because yeah, you prayed for it, but you weren't ready for it. You weren't ready for it. And so now, again, just as quickly as you received it, it's just as quickly as it leaves you. And then you go on this downward spiral. You're angry. You're upset. Again, I'm speaking from personal experience. Been there, done that. Only to learn that God is like, okay, you want to retry this again? And I'm like, yes, can we do this again? But your way, not my way. And I learned that in the waiting process is the preparation process. And I've had to learn to essentially build the muscles in the waiting process so that the next time I receive what I asked for, I had the muscles to carry what I prayed for. I had the leg strength to hold up what I prayed for. I didn't drop it because it was too heavy. Next time around, I was like, oh, God, this is light work. This ain't nothing. Because I went through the spiritual gym. I went to the mental gym, the emotional gym to be able to handle it. That the second go around, I was not only appreciative of it, but I was also in a better capacity to handle it, that I didn't fumble it. So I know I've kind of gone all around the mulberry bush and do what I do best, which is rant. But I really feel like for each and every one of us, we need to evaluate what success is to us. Not according to what social media tells us, not according to what celebrities tell us or these random life coaches, which don't get me started on life coaches because I need credentials. Where did you go to school? Let me see your certificate. Who vouches for you? Who is your leader? Who do you submit under? Because a lot of these life coaches be popping up out of nowhere. And I'm like, I need to know who's your mentor? Who's your leader? Because look at Derek Jackson, okay? He was a life coach and that man prayed for him because, yeah. But a lot of these people be coming up as life coaches and I'd be like, I need fruit. That's what I need. I need receipts. I need fruit. Because I don't be believing that all of y'all are really life coaches. But yeah, I think we need to define what success is for us. I think if your level of success is not necessarily making an impact on a nation, but making an impact on, I think, instead of thinking grandiose of making an impact on the world, maybe your world is the people around you. Maybe that's the impact you're supposed to make. Maybe that's the level of success you're supposed to have, is you impact your family, your friends, your neighbors, the people you come in contact with every day. Maybe that's where, if we're talking about in the church, Christianity-wise, or in terms of church-wise, that could be where your calling is you impact, if you're a teacher, you impact the people in your classroom. If you're a mom, you impact your children. If you're a doctor, you impact your patients. Everybody has an area of coverage in which they do their impact. For some of us, we don't go to all the nations and impact. Sometimes our impact is just the block, and that's successful in and of itself. Success could be just in our home. Success could just be our health, showing love to one another and other people saying that so that we can change the next generation. It doesn't have to be material things. So I think we just need to decide and really define what success is for us and not let outside influence decide what success and influence looks like. So with that being said, I am going to wrap up today's episode. So again, I know I'd be ranting. I'd be doing my best to not sound preachy, but it's who I am. I'm gonna stop apologizing because it's in my nature. It's who I am. I'm going to always be unapologetically and authentically me. And if it makes you uncomfortable, I apologize. But one thing about me is I'm gonna always be vulnerable. I'm going to always stay true to myself and be genuine. I'm not going to always say the right things. I'm not going to always say the correct things. And I'll always be one to come back and say like, hey guys, I said this, this was wrong, or it was incorrect. My bad. I take that to the chin. But I'm always going to be authentic, genuine, and true to who I am. And as I've just grown and I've had people try to put me in a box, I'm not going to be in a box anymore. So I hope you guys can understand as you guys follow me on this journey, because we're both on this journey together. And I hope that as I grow, you guys will grow with me. So with that being said, if you like this podcast, you guys already know what to do. Head over to podchaser.com, find your favorite podcast, which is this one, Sorin's Soapbox. That's SORIN'SSOAPBOX, and rate this podcast 4 or 5 stars if you please, and write 1 to 2 lines on why you love this podcast. And then also make sure you check out my socials. I am on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The handle is Shameless Listo on all platforms. That's SHAMELESSLISZTO. Come chat with me. Come talk to me. Let's talk about, how do you define success? How do you define success both in the world, or if you're a Christian like me, what are some ways that the church has defined being successful as a Christian, either been a burden or either been uplifting to you? I'd love to have some dialogue and conversation. Love to just chat. Or what are your overall thoughts about today's episode? Come chat with me. Tell me what your overall thoughts are about today's episode. What do you think about talking about success and being famous and it being tied to material things? Or do you feel like we all have to be Abraham and Jacob? Or some of us can just be Isaac. Some of us can just be, you know, a Ruth or a Rahab, where we just get grafted into the lineage. Or do we all gotta be great? Do we all gotta be Elijahs and Daniels if you are in the faith? Let's have a conversation. Let's chat. Come follow me on my socials and let's have a conversation. So with that being said, I love you guys. Your girl is off her soapbox. See ya.